The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Yes, that's right. MMA, everybody, on this Friday, June 25th, 2021. And we are on the eve of UFC Vegas 30. Going down tomorrow afternoon to be capped off by a top five heavyweight matchup between Ciryl Gane and Alexander Volkov inside the UFC Apex. And for those looking for an earlier start time for these fight night events, you're getting it tomorrow. The prelims are going to kick off at 1 p.m. Eastern time, 10 a.m. Pacific time on ESPN+. That's very exciting. So we welcome you to the live UFC Vegas 30 preview show here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Heck. I do not do this alone. We have the Prince of Positivity, Alexander Kaylee, joining us. Greetings, my friend.
Greetings. Greetings, my best friend. Greetings, my other best friend, who we will reveal soon. I am very happy to be here. I wish more sports would, the fans would just chant the sport itself as opposed to a team or a player name. Like, I wish during the playoffs we would just hear, like, I'm enjoying this game so much, and I have no particular, like, I'm from out of town. I have no particular rooting interests. I just love basketball. I'm enchanted. I wish we had more of that.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts on that, AK. And on the ones and twos, we have the producer extraordinaire, E. Casey Lydon, who has begun this MMA chant and has taken it to the next level. How are you, sir?
I'm just here to talk about sports. I love sports. Sports, sports, sports. Sports, sports, sports. That's what we're here for. We love sports. Me and AK, all about the sports. Sports ball. Right in your face.
Well, let us get into tomorrow, gentlemen. The MMA space. MMA. And by the way, for those watching live with us right now, get your questions in the chat. We will get to them in a few moments. But let us discuss this main event, AK, between Ciryl Gane and Alexander Volkov. Because normally, in this heavyweight division, if this was even last year or probably any other year in the history of this division, this would be a massively important fight, a very important main event. But right now, there's a bit of a logjam. The UFC is looking to book Francis Ngannou's first title defense against Derek Lewis later on this year. There's, of course, the looming John Jones factor. There's Stipe Miocic, who is also in the mix. So it just seems to me, AK, as important as this fight is on paper in terms of the rankings, the sizzle isn't quite on the steak, if you will. Is that how you sort of look at this as well? Timing just kind of sucks, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, time is an issue. I hate that I think people saw, you know, Gane's last win over Jairzinho Rozenstruik, a methodical performance, if we want to be nice about it. And I'm not being snarky here. I do think it was actually like a quality win. I just understand if anyone who sort of watched it was maybe, you know, not over the moon with their, you know, their projections now for Gane potentially being a heavyweight champion. I it didn't change my opinion of him at all. I thought he was dealing with a really dangerous guy, and he clearly won the fight, which is all that I can ask. I think all that we should ask a contender to do. Would a highlight KO have been nice? A highly real KO have been nice? Of course. Of course. That's why we watch these heavyweight fights. And I'm sure that's what people are hoping for on Saturday. But again, this is two tough guys, two very strong technical fighters. You may, again, see sort of more of a slow-paced kind of feeling out process for the first few rounds before the sparks start to fly, if they do at all. So I don't blame people at all for being a little bit kind of like, you know, lukewarm on, again, what is a high, very, very high level heavyweight fight, just not one that's like guaranteed to an all-time clap, you know. So it's understandable, but I do think people should tune in. It has implications.
Yeah, I mean, the implication, unfortunately, is that they're just defending their spot in the rankings. Like, no one can get a title shot off of win, no matter how impressive it is. And that's kind of the unfortunate thing about this fight. And Casey, Cyril Gaethje, clearly he's the top prospect in this division right now. He's 8-0, he's 5-0 in the UFC. He's got the knockout win over JDS. He's got two submission wins inside the octagon. He just headlined his first card in February. And as AK sort of alluded to, it wasn't the most fan-friendly main event of all time, but Gaethje fought an intelligent fight and did what he was supposed to do, and that is win and get your second paycheck. So the UFC is putting him back in this main event spot and against a guy in Alexander Volkov who's coming off back-to-back finishes. Do you feel, kind of watching Cyril Gaethje make this rise, Casey, that this fight is the quote-unquote ultimate litmus test for Cyril Gaethje? Like, if he goes out there and beats Alexander Volkov, that sort of not only wipes out the bad taste some fans had in their mouths from the last fight, but they're just like, damn, like, this guy could absolutely be a world champion.
Oh, actually, I wasn't even aware there was like a bad taste with Cyril Gaethje in his last fight. I thought his last fight was fine. I mean, like AK said, it was a solid victory over a very dangerous opponent. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know why. I think it kind of, I don't want to trash this fight because it's obviously between two very, very, very good heavyweights, but timing is everything. And like this, it's kind of like this fight, it just doesn't mean much. I think if there's a big knockout, either way, I think it can be kind of forgotten in their next performance or overshadowed in the next performance. If Volkov wins big, but then he loses big in his next fight, then we're kind of back to where we were. I feel like this fight is just kind of it's a good fight, but it doesn't, yeah, like you said, it just doesn't mean very much to the heavyweight division. And when we have, you know, for the main event for a fight night, we kind of expect something to come out of it, you know, like, oh, you know, this guy's gonna fight for the title next, or he's gonna fight for the number one contender. And we're just not gonna get that from this fight, no matter what happens. So while I'm excited to see it, just there's no real deeper meaning to the rankings and the division, unfortunately.
Yeah, at best, they're probably fighting for a backup spot for the title fight. Like, that's the best that they could probably hope for.
Yeah.
See, but for me, I'm like, I don't know. And I've said this on other preview shows, probably as recently as like 2 or 3 weeks ago, because I'm sure there was another card where we're like, oh, okay, main events, where's the title, you know, meaning. But I'll just repeat it. I'll be a broken record eventually. That, like, I just don't feel like every main event has to have, you know, and every big fight has to have, you know, has to be about, oh, what does this mean for the division and what does this mean for the title? Can we not just enjoy two large, well-trained martial arts gentlemen, you know, getting into a fight? Anytime we have, I think, an event like this, and again, maybe I'm talking myself into it, as I tend to do, I just try to get to the core of why we do this, guys. You know, we want to see two guys thrown in there and see who wins, right? If I saw if you showed me a picture of Cyril Gaethje and showed me a picture of Alexander Volkov and said, do you want to see these two guys fight and figure out who would win? I'd be like, hells yeah. Look at these guys, they're huge. Put them in there. So on the most basic level, UFC, I'm not doing a very good job of selling this card for you. On the most basic level, I am interested in seeing this fight. And I'm really...
You are stretching this.
I'm not getting it
on the basic level, it's just two dudes fighting.
Because it's two people, and there's a cage around them. I'm not getting added to the UFC marketing team anytime soon. This is not okay. But my point is, I mean, it's not just any two people. Obviously, it's two guys that we know are really good, really good heavyweights, and I'd like to see them. I would have liked to see them fight someday anyway. So whether it's for a title, whether it's for number one contenders, that shouldn't matter as much to me anyway. I just want to see these two guys fight. So that's that part of it's exciting to me. But again, I understand obviously that why we look for more substantial storylines. Well, I understand that.
Stakes matter. Fights of high stakes matter. I mean, that's why we like playoff basketball rather than just regular season basketball. You know, stakes matter. And there's just no high stakes in this fight other than, you know, the personal damage that they're going to get from getting beaten up. But outside of that.
We just literally had a similar scenario last week with Korean Zombie and Dan Ige. That's just like, none of those guys are getting a title shot. It just wasn't going to happen. But I mean, again, we're just like, wow, Dan Ige and Korean Zombie are fighting. Yes, sign me up for that. I don't know if I get the same feeling from this fight as we did last week. I like the fight. I'm not trashing the fight. It's just weird that you get two top five heavyweights fighting each other. And for like, you know, a very rare time in the history of the UFC's heavyweight division, it doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. They're just fighting for their same spot. Like, no one's dropping out of the top five with a loss, more than likely, unless someone gets starched in 30 seconds. Like, it's just going to be a fight, and someone's going to get paid more money than the guy he beats, which is, you know, it's still a fun fight. It's just weird. Maybe something happens. So, again, they're fighting for potentially who could be the backup. But according to our good friends at DK Nation, Casey Lydon, right now they have Ciryl Gane as the minus 155 favorite, and the comeback on the underdog Alexander Volkov is at plus 125. So are you, judging by the look in your face, I'm going to say that your answer is yes, but are you surprised by this? You got the 8-0 fighter being favored over a very big and dangerous guy with more than five times his professional MMA experience.
I am surprised by that. I'm picking Volkov in this fight. He's just shown more, mainly because we've had more opportunities to see him fight. Gane clearly is a top prospect in the sport, even though Volkov and Gane are essentially the same age, but fight experience, that's why we're kind of still calling Gane a prospect. But I'm surprised. I'm surprised that Volkov is underdog. Why are we down on Volkov a little bit? Is it just off the Derek Lewis, Curtis Blaydes loss? I guess.
I think it's the mystique of being unbeaten. I think the mystique of being unbeaten takes you a long way. We know this. We know this in the odds. Look at Bellator. Some of the Bellator odds when they're pushing some of those guys coming up like 4-0, 5-0, 6-0. Those guys, depending who they are, get odds that are like minus 600, minus 800. And it's like, we don't know. And often people don't know much about them or their opponents. It's just like, oh, this guy's 7-0 and he's a former, you know, division one wrestling champion. This guy's, 18 and 12. So it's like, logically you're like, well, shouldn't the guy with more experience have a better chance? But again, that zero, having that zero next to your name goes a long way. I'm not surprised though that Gane is.
Well, I get Gane too. I mean, if you do, just judging by the who looks better coming off the bus, you know, Ciryl Gane. Jeez, that guy's a beast. But not surprised. How about that?
Volkov's like quietly scary though. Volkov is like,
oh my god,
he's so big.
Yeah.
Like, he's just so tall, right? And but the thing with I'm a believer that Gane is. I would be shocked if he never competes for a UFC heavyweight title. Again, we've seen Stranger Things. We've seen dozens of fighters come down the pipe where we're like, oh, this guy is definitely going to, you know, compete for or be a world champion someday. And then they never even get a title shot. But if I were to bet, I mean, I'm all in on Gane. I'm not surprised he's favored. I just think he's such a prodigy. If you can be a prodigy, for a 31-year-old prodigy. But I remember seeing him when he was like 2-0, 3-0, 4-0. You know, a lot of his fights are on Fight Pass, so we're lucky we've kind of been able to watch him develop. And even in those early fights, just the way he moves is just so spectacular. So he's got the athleticism, he's got the instinct. And again, for me, I really, like you said, Casey, I actually thought the Rozenstruik fight was encouraging because it showed this other side of him, a maturity that most 8-0 fighters or 7-0, which he was at the time, they don't have that. So I will get to picks in a second, but I totally understand why he's favored. And again, I tell people to bet on MMA, but I don't think it's a terrible bet.
Okay, well, make your pick. We already, you laid out the groundwork. Let's spread it out. Let's see this plant grow, AK.
Where am I going? Okay, I'm going to go. Well, obviously I'm going Gane. I mean, that's no secret. I'm going Gone. Can he finish Alexander Volkov? I need to look. Let me see. Volkov has 4 losses by finish. 1 in the UFC, but that was like one of those weirdo Derek Lewis losses. So you almost kind of can't count those. They're impossible to replicate. I'll go Gone. It's such a safe thing to say. Gone by decision.
I think there is a ridiculous amount of value on Alexander Volkov in an underdog spot. This is a guy who has certainly gotten on a very effective strength and conditioning program. Like, he's still very big, but now he's put on like 15 to 20 pounds or more of extra size. And at first, like when he stepped on the scale to fight Walt Harris and he weighed in at 265, I thought it was red flag. But man, he has proven me wrong. I think Gon has a very high ceiling in the sport. A loss definitely isn't as devastating to him in the grand scheme of things as it would be for Alexander Volkov. I think for Volkov, it's kind of like you got to keep winning if you want to get a title shot. And if he suffers a setback, he may not ever get there. I feel like if Gon loses, he could still get back. I think Volkov's distance management, his power, the effectiveness with his kicks, especially when he goes to the body and starts scoring to the body and the legs, that could pay dividends. So the experience also is something that has my attention. So yeah, I'm going with Volkov here to pull off the slight upset. I think the body work will add up in the first few rounds. I think he could get a finish in this fight. I think Gon's going to get this is going to be one of those fights where we're like, if you go through the history of Ciryl Gane, this is kind of like Miguel Baez of fighting Santiago Ponzinibbio in my eyes. Like, he's going to look good. Gon's going to have his moments. His stock may still rise coming out of this, but it's going to be one of those fights we're going to be like, okay, where does he go from here? Like, is this a loss that he learns from and grows from? Or is this like kind of a downfall? And I feel like it's going to be the former. I feel like Gon will bounce back and come back better and stronger from this. But I feel like this is a tough one, man. This is a tough one. If there's a title fight on the line, maybe I'd look a little different. But, you know, I don't know. Volkov just seems like a safe pick in my eyes. I feel like he's going to have a big day tomorrow. So I'm going with Volkov to finish.
I'm picking Volkov. Yeah, I'm going to go with Volkov. Mostly because we kind of know who Volkov is. And I feel like he's getting better. I feel like he's a better fighter since the Curtis Blaydes loss. The Derek Lewis one, that was those things happen. It's a Derek Lewis fight. I thought Volkov has been a top 5 heavyweight, and on the right day, he can be the best heavyweight in the world. Well, Francis Ngannou, still Francis Ngannou. But on the best day, he can be the second best heavyweight in the world. How about that? unless Ciryl Gane's takedown and grappling top control game is if he's going to show me something I've never seen before, maybe that's his path to victory over Volkov. But I think if it's strictly a stand-up fight, even in the small apex cage, Volkov should take this. But if Gon can put a Curtis Blaydes type of game plan against Volkov with, you know, Gon's dangerous stand-up, there is a path to victory for Gon, clearly. But it'll be the fun part will be, hopefully, as spectators, we'll get to kind of see a part of Ciryl Gane that we haven't seen before. And that could be exciting. And but right now, from everything I've seen of their past fights, I'm pretty confident Volkov should win a solid decision.
Curtis Blaydes for Volkov against Curtis Blaydes, weight hit the scale. It's at 247 pounds for that fight. He had a cut to make 265 for this one. So he's obviously took a lot away from that fight. He's a massive dude.
Yeah.
Gigantic. So interesting main event. I wish the stakes were a little higher. Any different time, this would be a much bigger fight. It's not their fault, obviously. It's just
this is a perfect what's it going to be? I guess when they call 7 p.m. No, 6:30 p.m. on a Saturday Eastern time main event. All right.
Yes, get your burgers and dogs ready, cook them out on the grill, yes, and get ready to watch some heavyweight MMA. And you're going to see more of it because the co-main event, Ovin St. Preux going back up to heavyweight to face Tanner Boser. Very interesting fight. Boser, as we initially reported, signed a new deal with the UFC. So that should be fun. If you want to get OSP's thoughts on how that came together, you can go back into the archives on YouTube. Check out that interview. It was a lot of fun. Hayoni Barcelos is back against Timur Valiyev. By the way, I love how Dana White does the if you don't know, now you know things. And he mentioned this fight like we didn't know this was happening. We basically said like this fight should be the co-main event or on the main card. Everyone screamed and hollered at the UFC. And finally it happened. And now this is a don't know, now you know. Everybody knows about this fight. So let's put that out there. We got what else we got? Andre Feely, Daniel Pineda is a good one. Tim Means is back against Nicholas Dalby. Yeah. And then Renato Moicano versus Jai Herbert. Herbert. That's where we're going.
Herbert. I think it's just Herbert. Yeah.
Herbert. Yeah, it's the NFL Guy Herbert that's in my mind right now. I'm feeling like George Costanza. But main card kicks off at 4 Eastern. Some fun prelims as well.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Casey Hayden, let me ask you this. Who do you think is the biggest favorite on the card?
Oh, biggest favorite on the card.
I know this. Go ahead, Casey. You go. I know. It has to be.
Biggest favorite on the card. Actually, oh, man.
I have not looked, by the way.
I don't know, honestly. Maybe Moicano?
AK, what is your guess?
It has got to be Rakhmonov. Has to be, right?
Shavkat Rakhmonov. Oh,
yeah. Has to be.
Is the second biggest favorite on the card.
That was good. Got him.
Minus 305. There is a bigger favorite on this card. Julia Avila.
That was my second guess.
Minus 345. The comeback on Julia Stolyarenko is plus 260.
I'm a big Raging Panda fan, and I think that's kind of ridiculous. But
Moicano is a big favorite though. Minus 250.
Okay.
Against Herbert plus 195. Barcelos minus 230. So there you go.
Minus 230. Wow, that's surprising.
Yep.
I thought that'd be cool. Pick him.
So that's a good one.
Did you see Rakhmonov and Prezeris at the face-offs?
No.
We know Prezeris obviously is a small welterweight. That's not a secret. He's kind of that unfortunate. You just look at him,
right?
He's so wide.
He's a fire hydrant.
Well, because he's a lightweight, right? And he was trying to make lightweight for so long, and it's like he's not guys who I go like, oh, if he fixed diet and you know he could have made him like. I think just genetically, it was always going to be a struggle for him to make. He is like the definition. Like Kevin Lee always says, oh, I'm the definition of 165. I think Michel Prezeris is the definition of 165 because he's just, there's nothing he can do other than maybe like bulking down and losing muscle, which is fine. You know, that might be an option too, but that's not who he is. He's a really super muscly guy. It was ridiculous. He must be I swear he looked 8 inches shorter than Rakhmonov. So, I'm amazed that's not maybe after people see the face-offs that there's a lot of money's going to come in on Rakhmonov.
Did Rakhmonov
just a physical mismatch? Crazy.
Did he travel with his wolf head?
Yep.
He did. He did. And he had the flag of Kazakhstan as well, draped over him. It was quite a look.
I wonder if he checks that in or does he put that as a carry-on? Does he put it overhead? I just wonder how that works. These are the things
Does he have to put it in the dog cage? Is it like an animal? Is it like, yeah, treat it like a pet?
I don't care about game plans or how they're training with. I was like, how does your carry-on baggage work? I was like,
how do you get this through customs?
The face off was like, and this is for like the older, like old school wrestling fans. It was like the 93 Royal Rumble where Giant Gonzalez made his debut and he got face to face with the Undertaker. Like that's what the stare down looks like. Cause Giant Gonzalez was eight inches taller. It was just crazy. You're like, these are like two completely different, like human, like, layouts. It's insane. They're both 170.
What are they listed at?
Human layout like that.
This is UFC 1 stuff. That's why I'm so excited with this matchup. Prezeris, we weren't kidding. Prezeris is listed at 5'6". Rachmaninov is 6'1". So we weren't joking. It's 7 inches of height.
It's insane.
That's not normal at welterweight.
He's got the shortest welterweight, right?
I think by far. Yeah, at least like 2 inches.
Okay.
AK, what's your pick for fight of the night? Looking at it on paper, what's the one you're like, this has got to be ridiculous?
Well, I think this will be a little more competitive than the betters think. I like Julia. I think I loved it when it was booked. I loved it when it was supposed to happen. And unfortunately, Stolyarenko had that scare on the scale. I don't know if people have forgotten about that already, but she did faint the first time around. Mm-hmm. And I do kind of believe her. You know, I know she said afterwards, like, it wasn't as serious as people thought. And kind of what a lot of other kind of some other coaches chimed in and said, like, if people knew how these fighters kind of looked and the conditions they're in when they're not in front of the camera for that whatever, you know, minute that they have to weigh in, they would be shocked. Like you probably have a lot more fights getting canceled, I think. So it was a rough moment for her. Hopefully, and again, it is nothing serious, and you know, it's not a problem in the future, and it's just a one-time thing. But yeah, that's a fight I was looking forward to. I think it could be a great scrap. I think Stolyarenko, I'm not saying she's like a champion or anything, I just think she's a lot tougher than people give her credit for. Certainly could Avila put her away early and prove all the bettors correct, the odds makers correct, excuse me. Definitely. That's something that can happen. But I think it's going to be a good, really good three-round fight. Yeah. I don't know, fight of the night, but a really good three-round preliminary bout.
Casey, what do you think? What's the one you got circled?
Yeah, if that Julia is it Julia? How do you say Stolyarenko's? Is it Julia?
Yeah, Julia. No, it's just Julia.
Oh, it's Julia. Okay, just some extra letters in there. Yeah. Julia and Julia Violence. Yeah. I'm hoping. Actually, I hope that's gonna be fight at night. I'll be really excited if it is. But I predict either most likely it's gonna be Feely Pineda or the amazing bantamweight fight between Timur and how do you say his first name? Ione and Timur. Most likely that'll be fight at night. Hoping that'll be fight at night. I'm hoping that's gonna be a really good grapple fest too. But grapple fest don't win fight at nights very often in UFC. But cross my fingers.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, like, if you really look at this card, there's a lot of fights that could be fight of the night. There's a lot of like really interesting matches. Like Barcelos Valiev is interesting. Feely Pineda is a good one. Means and Dalby's fun. Even Moicano and Herbert in a crazy way is fun.
I actually like this card. I liked it from top to bottom. It just doesn't have the significance and like a big, like we said, the big main event. It's just kind of the timing is bad for this main event, but the fights themselves, there's no real, like it doesn't really build. I feel like just the whole card is kind of solid. There's no, you know, that's what I kind of feel.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Like, it feels like, I'm looking at just the card, even the main card. You probably could have put almost any of these fights as the co-main events, and it would have been like, okay, yeah. Oh, and you know, you could have like Bozer OSP could be the co-main event, it could be the opener, and I wouldn't be like surprised either way. I'd be like, yeah, good opener, and then I'd be like, oh yeah, good co-main event relative to the other fights on this card. So, yeah, there is a certain flatness to it. Sure. There's a consistency to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a solid pie. It's a solid looking pie. You know, there's not a lot of pizzazz to it, but it's got a good consistency. You have a piece and you're like, yes, I like this. I like the crowd crumbles. What's happening? What's going on right now?
UFC Vegas 30.
What's happening? UFC Vegas 30.
It's a solid pie.
That's a solid pie.
I'm gonna dig deep here. Charles Rosa versus Justin James should be really interesting for a number of reasons. One, because both guys need a win big time. I think this is a loser leaves town match for sure. Plus, Justin James is apparently putting his fight purse on himself, which is pretty interesting. And I'm excited for the UFC debut of Jeremiah Wells. I believe this is something that should have happened a while ago. He's going to fight Worley Alves, which is definitely not an easy fight by any means. But I get a feeling those two guys are just going to slang them things, and it's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be my low key.
What can you tell us about him? I don't know anything about him.
Fought a lot in New England, former CES champion, CFFC. I believe those are the only two promotions that he actually fought in, are CFFC and CES.
As a
champions in both. His one loss in the last, I don't know, 4 years, he lost the CES title to Vinicius De Jesus, who went on to a Bellator contract.
Is he fighting tonight, or is that another De Jesus?
I think that's John De Jesus that's fighting tonight. John's the guy who just fought Aaron Pico in his last fight. Our two fights.
Wells, not a bad replacement for Ramazan Emiyev. I'm sure a lot of people want to see the return of Emiyev, but Jeremiah Wells for sure. I think so. So his most recent fights probably are on Fight Pass, right?
Yep, CFFC. Yeah, probably all of them actually, because CES is also on Fight Pass.
Right. Okay, so there you go. People, if you want to cram on your Jeremiah Wells knowledge, he just took this fight less than a week's notice against a veteran welterweight. So, but hey, why not? No time like the present, right?
There you go. Worley Alves wanted Nate Diaz, and he gets a newcomer instead. So I'm sure he got exactly what he had hoped for. Let's go to the peeps.
Okay, block.
I got rid of it.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
I hid them. I don't know if that keeps them. Oh, I don't know if that blocks them. If you have blocking power, please block them.
At least you're hidden now. All right.
Anyway.
All right. Sorry about that.
Don't worry about that.
To the beeps. Hold on.
To the peeps.
Do. All right. What we got first?
I don't know if I saw a lot of questions. I was kind of looking at the chat.
We got some, don't worry.
What do we got?
I'm sure people on the West Coast will love tomorrow's card, especially media members and podcasters. First fight is at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Coverage should be over by dinner. Yes, I am loving that. And then you have time to watch BKFC if you want as well.
Yeah.
Because tonight's going to be a long one. We got Bellator, which will end in a decent time.
Whatever do you mean?
And PFL's going until like 4 a.m. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
That PFL 6 card is just going to fly by. Let me tell you something. Four hours of prelims. And again, I know people are going to say, UFC has like pretty long prelims. Sure. That's the UFC. And I'm not saying UFC is inherently better than every other league, but you probably know a few more of the fighters on a UFC card than you do on literally any other promotion. I'm not singling out PFL. So when you're a slightly smaller promotion and you're having a 4 hour preliminary card, good, more power to you. That's amazing. And then the main card doesn't start till 10 Eastern time. Kayla Harrison will be rolling around onto people's television sets around again. I think like Clarissa Shields fight around like, oh God, no. There's only four main card fights. They can't do that. They can't stretch it out like that.
Bellator, Bellator's main event, there'll be a new interim champion crowned. The scrums will be over well before Kayla Harrison makes the walk. Well before. That's my guess.
Kayla Harrison, breakout fighter of the year.
PFL, because they have a lot of, I mean, look, they're very, they have a very polished television product, which can lead to some filler if there's a quick finish. I don't know if you guys watched the weigh-ins or have watched any of the recent weigh-ins. They don't blow through the ceremonial weigh-ins like a UFC show. They don't just go like boom, boom, boom. They do two weigh-ins, and then they do like a little profile on the fighters, which is good. Again, we always say they should give more information on these people, but it's so like their weigh-ins, I think, took almost an hour. Their ceremonial weigh-ins took almost an hour. I'm not joking. I was like, oh, I love, you know, I love, guys, I love Wayans. And I'm like, oh, I don't think I watched the last couple. So I was like, oh, I'm going to sit down and watch this one. And I was like, wow, this is taking a long time.
I wish these events were ESPN Plus exclusives. Because then, like, you don't need the filler. Like, you could still sprinkle in a commercial or two, but we don't need filler. We're not on any kind of time, you know, restraint or time fill. We don't need to be in at a certain time and out by in a certain time. You just go boom, 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 boom. Like, take the whatever Cage Warriors is doing, do that. They're on their second card in 2 days, and it seems like one mega card because it just goes by so fast. It's just way more enjoyable that way.
Casey, I see a comment. Someone named Klaus saying, "No one wants to see sports science on the screen." In regard, how dare you? How dare you, sir?
I'm all about. I love competition in MMA. I think competition just makes the sport. So between promotions, just makes the sport better for fighters, for fans, and I want to support PFL so much, but. God, there's just too much stuff on the screen.
I'm a man of science. You guys know this about me. Yes, my passion is, of course, writing about MMA and talking about MMA. But at heart, I am a man of science. And when I see stuff like their, you know, BMI and like how much PSI there was on that squeeze, and then of course the maximum punching speed. I mean, that's like, we've been asked talking about how do you fix judging? Here's how you fix judging. You go to the end, you see who had the fastest punch in the fight. Clearly that guy won. What needs to be disputed here? What are we doing?
I like some guys getting his butt kicked on the ground. Like, yeah, look at that. He's taking those strikes at a solid 8.2 miles an hour.
I'm like, okay. In all seriousness, the what's the stat they have? What's their proprietary stat that's like
judging? FRM? What is it?
It's like complete. Oh my gosh. Fighter. It's like they have a stat at the end that is meant to be a calculation of everything that happened in the round. It's not horrible, but there are some moments where it's weirdly off. I think if there's a finish, it kind of throws it off. Or it's weird. It doesn't know how to calculate certain things. So there was some screw. I know there's been some screwy looking.
Like people who PFL. They've been caught like in triangles for like 4 minutes of a round, and then still by the FF stat, they're like
I should look this up.
You know, but one thing I do like about PFL a lot is
the
ring announcer. Who's the lady, the ring announcer?
Lillian Garcia.
Oh, Lillian Garcia. She's wonderful. Garcia.
She's great. Sorry, I just. She doesn't get enough shine out there in the MMA world. I feel like Lillian, good pickup by PFL with Lillian Garcia.
Yeah, she brings a certain quality to it for sure. Yeah, no, definitely a fan. But thank you, Claude. Thank you, Claude, for the comment.
What else we got? I believe, by the way, Sean Grandy will be doing the play-by-play tonight for Bellator.
another seriously. Welcome
oh
voice.
Yeah, because I think
Mauro's doing the boxing.
Yeah, he's doing boxing. I think Javante Davis, I think it's this weekend.
Of course, YouTube. Sean Grandy, the longtime radio voice of the Boston Celtics.
Yeah. I just had to mention it. Of course. YouTube, on one of the guys on YouTube, the kid from Hex, says he's called it the Algorithm Fighter Social Credit Score. There you go. Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think that's what it's called. Yeah, I was trying to look it up. Yeah, I think that's all right.
All right, what else we got UFC related?
This guy, can you block this guy? I don't know who this
is. Oh my gosh.
He's one half of the BTL tag team champions.
He is.
All right, respect. Oh my gosh, this guy again. That is a question. Y'all didn't ask for my opinion? No, we didn't. There's your answer.
Hold on a second. Let's just talk real quick. Just get it out of the way.
I think Badovsky wins.
I'm going Johnson.
Hold on. It's not a question mark. It's a question with an exclamation point.
Who wins Johnson versus Badovsky?
I'm going Badovsky. But unless Tim Johnson fights in jeans. If he fights in jeans, then I'm going Johnson.
Yeah, if this is a Texas street fight, Johnson wins all day. Yeah. But if this is a mixed martial arts competition, Madovsky wins.
Unfortunately. Sorry. This guy Jed was just spamming our
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. We should be talking about it more.
Here we go.
One more. We just did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shouldn't Feely be able to get back on track versus a losing record UFC fighter in Pineda, who is now 35, just getting knocked up by Cub? Okay. So this is an interesting take, because Daniel Pineda looked tremendous against Herbert Burns. And let us not forget, for the first 4 minutes of that Cub Swanson fight, Pineda looked pretty damn good.
Very
he was lighting up Cub's leg. He was winning that round until he got dropped at the end of the first. So it wasn't like Cub just went out there and annihilated him start to finish. This is a Pineda. Pineda's winning that first round. He was cruising to a win in that first round. And then Cub just used that grit and veteranship, dropped him, and then finished him in the second round. So Pineda's a legit guy. This is a really good fight. This is a really good fight, right? They have let me look at the odds real quick. Feely is a -230 favorite against Pineda at +180.
That sounds about right. That sounds right.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
I'm picking Feely, but Pineda has just got power. And the way they're both their fighting styles, I could definitely seeing Feely get caught with a giant haymaker from Pineda, too. So,
Pineda's gas tank is going to be the biggest thing, because that was like a big part of that Cub fight, too, is he lost wind. Did he miss weight for that fight? I don't know if he missed weight.
Maybe.
Am I speaking out of turn? But I think it was a pretty tough weight cut for him. So, and no, plus,
they're saying Burns missed weight. It was Burns.
Burns missed weight. That's what it was. Excuse me. My apologies for that. Yeah. So, but Pineda's cardio was certainly an issue in that Cub Swanson fight down the stretch. Not saying that Cub wasn't going to beat him anyways, because Cub just looked great in that fight. He just seemed on once he got past that line of let's go. He went, and that was it. Plus, it'll be interesting to see Pineda and Ike Villanueva. Pineda coaches Ike Villanueva. So if Ike can go out there and get a win, how much will that help Pineda? Vice versa. What if Ike loses? Will that affect him? Who knows? I don't even know if he's going to be cornering Ike or not. That's an interesting thing to wonder about as well. So Feely should be able to get back on track, since the betting odds are at -230, but it's a good, gritty fight, man. I like it.
Yeah, I like it.
Pineda's just so dangerous. Yeah, and you can't count him out.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna say Pineda is a top 10 featherweight, or he ever will be, but he's definitely a kill or be kill type fighter. And unfortunately, when he fights the higher level guys, it's usually the killed part. But great fight. Pineda's a type of fighter that should be on any big name promotion. Has just a good action fight, middle of the card. And this is exactly where the UFC has them. So excited for this fight. This is a great fight night card, and it should be a good fight for Feely. If Feely, people still believe in Feely to potentially be, a top featherweight. He's always kind of right there, then he loses that fight. But, we'll see.
Yeah, good fight. Like it.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
What else we got?
Oh, man. Sorry. Just lots of people are excited about that fight.
The people always are.
It'll be
funnier
than that.
He's one of those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good fight. And it was what? It's only been on the card, 2 weeks? It's like one of the last fights added, right?
I got to go Means Dolby. I'm so excited for Means Dolby. I think that's what I want to see for a while.
I'm a big Dolby fan. I'm a big Dolby fan. I like him.
I think that's going to be really good.
You just want Tim Means to win so you can go on to the next one and say lobby for Robbie again.
I'm not done lobbying for Robbie. Not even close to being done.
Feely almost beat Mitchell.
Can you Bryce Mitchell?
It was close.
I don't think it was that close.
He got out grappled for the most part, right? That was all like kind of a I can't remember everything.
I think he's talking about maybe the Sadiq Youssef fight. That one was pretty close.
Yes.
Andre Feely's the lead singer for his band Born Breach. Check him out. I will have to do that.
Look at Dr. Alan Grant.
I like nothing but gems from Dr. Alan
Grant. He's so hip.
Like, he's asking so about it. Dinosaur cloning, or asking him about underground punk rock bands from Sacramento. He knows everything. This guy knows everything.
I'm definitely going to check that out. What else we got?
Let's see. Oh.
Well, thanks, Serge.
Oh, thank you, Serge Kratos.
You know, it's mostly just people talking about Jed.
That can't be true. That can't be true.
That's
all right.
How about our boy Joseph Boza? I think has some. Why don't you grab a Joseph Boza if you can see that, Casey? Got a couple of questions.
Where? I don't see him.
Oh, one of them we've kind of already answered. I'll read it out. I'm sure you'll find it. We hate to talk about this, but is Yancy Medeiros fighting for his UFC job? 6-7, one no contest, 3-fight losing streak. Hasn't looked good recently.
Do we want the boring answer?
Yeah, go, Mike.
I'll give you the boring answer. The answer is absolutely yes, because it's the last fight on his contract. So yes, he is fighting for his.
So literally,
literally fighting for his job.
I guess the question is more, does he have what are his chances of getting re-signed should he not win this fight? And I mean, you can go the boring answer again, and it's more like, how much is he willing to fight for if he loses? That's really the question. The UFC will if you tell the UFC, I'm going to say, I'll sign a new contract for half my pay of the last contract, I'm sure they'd be like, come on down. Yeah. You're welcome. The cage door is open for you. So I don't know. I don't think Yancy would do that. But
I am confident enough to say that if Yancy Medeiros wins this fight tomorrow, he will be back in the UFC, because Yancy Medeiros he doesn't go out there and eke out decisions. He wins spectacularly when he wins. So yes, if he wins, we'll see him again. If he doesn't, we probably won't see him again.
I'm a giant Yancy fan. As a fan, I hope he wins. But this is probably if he doesn't win, he'll probably be done with the UFC. But if he does win, he's a free agent. I'm just saying, Bellator does actually have fights in Hawaii. And now that it seems like this pandemic thing is heading toward an end, UFC, I mean, Bellator does go to Hawaii at least once a year. And, you know, I'm just saying, you know, Yancy being the Hawaiian fighter. There could be a chance Bellator just might give Yancy a better offer. I'm just, but
definitely,
yeah.
So even like what Hawaii or not, like why not? I mean, he's an exciting guy.
I love, yeah.
You know, it's a name you can use to either, you know, just propel your division just overall with, you know, just the experience factor, or you can use that name to build up other talent. So. I mean, Yancy Medeiros versus a lot of those guys is a lot of fun at 170. Bellator's got a pretty fun welterweight division, so.
Yes, it does.
Anything else?
I've got some questions coming in. Hold on.
All right, we'll take two more.
All right. Okay, big question. Here we go. Okay.
Are we indulging this guy?
Yeah, I think we should.
I'll tell you,
this has been a big topic.
The breakout fight of the year is BTL's Fernanda Prachis. I'll tell you, she's come out winging. She's the one to watch. If she makes one more appearance before the end of the year, I mean, it could just be BTL Fighter of the Year, period. So, I mean, there's my answer.
All right.
Is it the right move to rebook Lee versus Brady?
Was it rebooked?
Well, if they do, I mean, if it's up to Brady, I mean, I talked to Sean yesterday. That's how I kind of found out about this whole thing. So the plan, Sean, if it's up to Sean, he's rebooking this fight. But if they can't rebook it, he wants another top 15 guy. When this fight was originally being discussed, August 7th was the initial date that was thrown out there. Like when it was first offered, it was August 7th. Then it became July 10th, put on the pay-per-view. Kevin Lee wanted a fight earlier, wanted a fight on the Conor card. Get it. That's a big addition to that card. Interesting fight. So I know there's reports out there that they could try to do August 7th. from what I understand, it doesn't seem likely that that happens because Kevin Lee's injury is, I mean, it's not super serious, but it'd be, I don't know if miraculous is the right word, but that'd be just a ridiculous quick turnaround if he can get rebooked in a month's time. So I don't know. I think they should rebook it if it's not going to be something that waits till like November or something like that. If you can get something like late August, early September, and we can go that route, I think that's the fight to make. I think it got some buzz. I don't know if you guys saw anything. I didn't see one person complain about this fight. This is one of those fights where like, ooh, this is a good one. This is good matchmaking. Did anyone see any like poo-pooing of this fight? I didn't.
It made a lot of sense.
Vet versus prospect, going up in weight, kind of going back up in weight, coming off a loss, Brady coming off a strong win, made a lot of sense. Unfortunate injury, you know, it sucks. Dude, but all I'm saying is like, there's a certain guy named Hamzat Shamayev that's looking for a fight, and he weighs 170 pounds, and him and Sean Brady make a lot of sense. So,
oh,
I know things that make sense.
I get it.
Who is Shamayev? Shamayev is in Vegas right now training at Extreme Couture right now, and he's there. So,
why would Shamayev want to fight Brady though?
Where is Shamayev ranked? That's what I'm saying.
There's just not a lot of, I don't know. There's not a lot of gain from beating Brady. And that's a dangerous fight. Is the risk of fighting Sean Brady worth the reward if he beats him?
Are you looking from the Shamayev's point of view or from Brady's point of view?
Yeah.
For Brady, it's massive. Brady goes out there and beats Shamayev. It's huge. That's a big thing for him.
Facing Sean Brady. You beat a guy and guy no one heard of Sean Brady. I feel like you got anyone that faces Sean Brady. I feel is going to get that same thing. You know, it's a dangerous fighter. You know, I just feel like this is Shamayev. He fights anyone, anytime. You know, I don't know.
Hamzat Shamayev was just booked in a title eliminator with Leon Edwards 3 different times. So to go from that, because if he had beat Leon Edwards, he's fighting Kamaru Usman for the title. Like there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's a big step back for a fight that is, I'm not going to say equally as dangerous, but super dangerous. And you don't get the same reward fighting a lot of those guys.
But like we said about the main event, if the timing ain't there, the fight don't make sense. And Shamayev Edwards with the timing of that kind of made sense. Now with Shamayev, you know, out for like, how long has he been out for? It feels like a year.
October was the last time he fought.
Okay, October. September. So we were used to seeing him fight every 15 minutes. So now he's been out for like 8 months or something like that, 9 months. So I feel, I don't know.
you could actually make the argument now that Leon Edwards versus Hamzat Shamayev makes just as much sense as it did several months ago after the way that fight with Nate ended.
Guys, can I read a take from MMA Parlay King in the comments?
Do it.
He says Brady will win that fight and steal his clout fighting Shamayev is better than fighting for the title. Whoever beats him steals his hype.
I don't know better than the title, but maybe the second best thing.
He has spoken.
Maybe the second best
thing. Thank you. I can't top that. Listen, I don't have my good, own
take. It's great for Brady.
People are talking about Sean Brady.
I agree with Mike. It would be a better fight. It would be a bigger fight for Brady than it would be for Shamayev. But I do think there's value in it for Shamayev. I do think because I'm so sure Brady is a future world title contender. But I just don't know if people know that. Most people know that yet. I don't think he's reached that point yet where everyone's like, oh, I need to see Sean Brady fight. Everyone immediately starts talking about like, oh man, he's won 2 fights away from a title shot. I don't think people say that like they say about Shamayev after that, you know, 3-0 start to his career. Everyone's like, one fight away, give him the title shot. And I was like, this is crazy. So we don't have that with Brady yet.
But Shamayev has a fight against a top 10 guy.
Who?
Neil Magny's been wanting to fight this guy for a year now. Why can't we just make that
fight? Do it.
It's right there.
You keep asking for it. Because people want it. I'll be Jose here. People want it. It makes too much sense. So the UFC will not do it.
I would rather have Brady fight Lee and have Shamayev fight Magny, because you have the chance to build two new divisional prospects, two guys in the rise to mix in with that deep division, two new contenders. If you match Brady and Shamayev up, as much as I would like to see that fight, and I would favor Brady in that fight, by the way. I don't know. I feel like it could be a bigger fight down the road, is what I'm saying. There's times where, like, if this is the bantamweight division, match them up, because you have like the top 35. You could like mix and match a lot of those guys. Welterweight's a little bit of a different story. So we could wait on that fight.
Shamayev Magny does make the most sense.
Because, oh my God, yeah.
Because the UFC, let's be honest, the UFC is never going to get behind Magny as a true title contender that can sell pay-per-views. But have him up there against Shamayev, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And is he tied with GSP right now for most welterweight wins, or is he one behind him?
Magny? Oh yeah, yeah. Obviously. He's got to be up there. I'm not sure actually, but
He's in there. I don't know if he's tied with GSP or if he's one behind him. But either way, like, that's part of the story too. Like, if he gets that like historic win and does it over Shamayev, like, you could just build upon that. It's not going to be a massive star. One behind.
He's one behind.
So he ties GSP and beats Shamayev and could beat Shamayev to do it. Gets a little bit of a rub there.
By the way, I like this comment from Francis Marshall, who said, it was Sean Brady is Shamayev if he had to work his way up the rankings fairly. Oh, I like that. Spicy. That's spicy. Yeah.
Sizzle. Yeah. Sizzle. Brady should have been and Brady, if for those who follow like the regional scene and like especially in the tri-state region of the United States, Brady should have been in the UFC long before he actually got into the UFC.
Why? Was it just contract? He just didn't get the right contract, or do you know? Because to me, when I see Sean Brady just as a casual, just a viewer, he looks the part, he fights the part, he talks, he's good on the mic, you know. So he's a handsome gentleman. I didn't get why there was hesitation bringing him up into the UFC. I just wonder. Yeah,
me neither. It just seemed to take way longer than it should have, but he's in now.
He's in. And obviously the UFC believes in him because they gave him Kevin Lee, you know? So
yeah, he got Court McGee for his UFC debut,
which is always a tough fight, but got a lopsided decision. Yeah. And the fact that he made it look easy, obviously it wasn't easy. You know, he had to earn that victory, but yeah. Oh, look at this guy.
Why did you put it on screen? He's been spamming the chat. Did you put it on screen?
Yeah, now, block him.
Don't encourage him. Don't encourage him.
If you watch Between the Legs, oh my gosh. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. We talked about the booking of that fight, and Jed said it doesn't do much for Sean Brady because his name is Sean Brady, and everybody went to school or has somebody in their town named Sean Brady. Sean Brady. It's like too common of a name to be a star of some kind. I don't know. Whatever he says.
Well, you know, a cool nickname would help him. I don't know.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
He needs a cool nickname.
Okay. Before we get out of here, I think we talked about this fight for like 2 seconds. It deserves a little bit.
Oh, right. I think.
How do y'all think OSP versus Bozer goes, and what's next for both men depending on the outcome?
I mean,
I don't know, man.
We talked about the main event not having any like implications, any long-term implications. I can't imagine why this fight. I know there's a thing. Okay, well, Bozer, I think it'd be his third straight loss, but his fight with Latifi was really close. I think a lot of people thought he won that.
Even the Arlovski fight, a lot of people thought he beat Arlovski too. It was like,
yeah. So I don't think the UFC views him. I don't think the UFC views him in that poorly. But I mean, 3 straight losses is 3 straight losses. If they cut him, I wouldn't be surprised. I just don't think they will. He's doing them a solid here. He's stepping in on short notice for Maxim Grishin. OSP is never going to be – he has 20 more fights left in his UFC career. He's never going anywhere. He's just always around. So how do I think it goes? I'm actually picking OSP. And what's next for both? I don't know. That's a Sunday question, Mike. Honestly, I need to put a lot of thought into that because I have no clue.
I have no idea. MMA decisions, about half the people had Bozer beating Arlovski. And even if you did have Bozer losing that fight, even his last two fights, it's like there were kind of like 30 minutes of nothing almost. Like Tanner Bowser didn't get beat up in any of those 30 minutes. He just kind of lost rounds. So I still am on the Tanner Bowser hype train. I like the way he fights. I like him as a personality. I like his look. OSP is not an easy fight. He gave Ben Rothwell a tough fight at a heavyweight. And that was OSP's first time at heavyweight, I think. And if I recall from your wonderful interview, Mr. Heck, with OSP, a great interview, by the way, of OSP. That was kind of OSP's kind of always been kind of boring on the mic, to be honest. But I don't know. There was something different with OSP on that interview. So go to our YouTube page and watch it. I think OSP is going to handle this weight a little better in this matchup. And now he's not going as a giant of a man, Ben Rothwell. He's going as a regular size heavyweight, I guess, with Tanner Bowser, a big 205er, to be honest. I'm actually picking OSP in this. It's going to be a tough fight for Bowser. And I like Bowser, but I think this is actually a tougher fight than his last two losses, unfortunately for him.
Yeah, I lean OSP, and I think a major factor, and shout out to my good friend James Lynch, who interviewed Tanner Bowser not long ago. Tanner Bowser has been in quarantine since his last fight.
That too.
So he hasn't even he hasn't gone to the gym. He hasn't had any kind of a training camp for this fight. Like he fought Aleo Latifi, flew home, and he's been in quarantine ever since, and then got out of quarantine to fly back to Vegas and fight OSP. So I don't know how that's going to translate. That some fighters, it's like, man, I got to have the training camp and I got to watch film and do all this stuff. And some fighters just I don't need any of that stuff. Like, I don't need to think about it too much. I don't want to overthink. Let's just get in there and throw hands and have a fight. So we'll see. I didn't want to talk about it that much because it's such a wild card fight. It's cherry on top of the sundae. So whatever happens is a bonus. It's a victory for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so thrown together. And it's such a weird thrown together fight.
I love it. I love it, though. I actually
like the fight, and it's not their fault. They're the co-main event. They didn't go, hey, Dana, we have to be co-main event. We're not fighting. They didn't. That was the UFC's decision. So I know people are kind of hating it for that reason, but don't hate the fighters for that. You know, get mad at the matchmakers or how they position fighters
so
hard.
Oh,
yeah. I just want to put that out there because I think they're two quality fighters. It's just it's not the co-main event, but yes. Picking OSP.
Okay.
Good.
That it? We good?
All right.
One more thing.
Oh,
I finally found it. I don't know why this was so hard to find. The PFL proprietary scoring system.
30 minutes
It's called Fighter. I've been working on it this whole time. Fighter Performance Rating. FPR. Fighter Performance Rating. That is the ultimate fight deciding stat because computers decided. And those are the judges of the future.
Is there any stats FPR, the winner versus the actual winner? Are they 100% or they can't be 100% anymore with the Rory loss. Look into that.
Don't send me down another hole. I've literally been just trying to, I spent the last half hour just trying to find the term. And now you actually want me to do some more research. Come on. You want me to do research like a journalist? Get out of here.
There you go. Could be a great divide one day. Are computers the future of judging? Stay tuned to MMAfighting.com. All right, we're out of here. Stay locked on MMA Fighting for PFL coverage, Bellator coverage, all the results, stuff going on. We should probably have some scrums on the YouTube page coming out of both events, so stay tuned for that. And then tomorrow, back here at 12:30 Eastern, for the People's Pre-Fight Show, 30 minutes before UFC Vegas 30 kicks off, we'll have a post-fight show, and then we'll have coverage of BKFC tomorrow night as well. So plenty of combat sports action, plus the boxing. Lots of boxing tomorrow night, too. So it's gonna be a busy weekend.
Yeah, everything going on.
So much stuff. So until then, for Casey, for AK, I am Mike Heck. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Happy birthday, AK.
Not my birthday.
What? That's so weird. I just seen edible arrangement. Stop. All right.
Nope.
My bad.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL World Champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.